Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Commit or Quit. I'm Eric.
I'm Eddie.
And I'm Brian.
Welcome to the show. Hope you guys are doing well. And you guys are ready for another great episode of Commit or Quit. Commit or Quit, what do we do today? As always, we talk about a drama or a movie or a TV show. And we give you an answer. A big answer. A very important answer.
Very important answer.
It is, right? Why is it important?
Because we're going to tell you whether you should commit or quit an entire TV series.
Right.
That's like 20 hours of your life that we are…
We're saving. We're saving you. Either way you look at it, sparing you.
Exactly.
I mean, obviously, this is all very subjective and, you know, it's based on what we like and what we don't like.
True.
But anyways, you know, we like to think that we have valid opinions and reasoning to back everything up.
True.
So, now… Before we get into it, we do have to let you know that this podcast, as all of our Commit or Quit podcasts do, contains spoilers because we have to talk about the show. So if you are a stickler for not having spoilers, then we'd recommend that you go watch the first two episodes and come back so you could have an informed decision with us. But if it doesn't really matter to you that much and we're going to save you some time, just listen to this and we'll let you know. We'll give you the DL on what is going on.
On today's episode, we're going to review a K-drama medical series that just started airing last month. The show is called Hospital Playlist and it's been gaining some serious traction. I mean, drama in the ER? Count me in.
Count you in?
Count me in.
Really? You like drama in the ER?
I like drama.
Okay, great.
And there's a lot of drama in the ER.
That's right, Brian. You know, will this series follow a predictable storyline or will it move beyond the typical tropes of a hospital drama? I think it's time to keep listening to find out.
Welcome to Commit or Quit.
Hey, what do you want to watch?
I don't know.
Oh, I actually heard this is really good.
What do you say? Should we commit or quit?
All right, guys. So this week it's 슬기로운 의사 생활. AKA Hospital Playlist in English. And it started airing in March of 2020. So it's fairly recent. It's on TVN in Korea and on Netflix for those of you who are not in Korea. And it is directed by Shin Won-ho, who also directed hit dramas such as Reply 응답하라 series. So 1997, 94, and 98, as well as Prison Playbook, which was 슬기로운 깜빵생활, which is a drama about prison. And I did actually an OST for that. But a very, very popular director who is directing this series. So Eddie, please go ahead. Give us a Netflix synopsis.
Yeah, no problem, Eric. Every day is extraordinary for five doctors and their patients inside a hospital where birth, death, and everything in between coexists.
Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
Everything in between?
Everything in between.
Coexisting?
Wow.
That's a lot.
I mean, they ain't lying.
Listen, you got my attention.
Really? I mean, yeah, you got mine too. That's why we're doing a show about it. So, let's go ahead. For reference, we're going to give you some character breakdowns. We got a very star-studded cast here. We have Lee Ik-jun, played by Cho Jung-suk. He's a professor of general surgery. He's married and a father. Ooh. And we have An Jung-won, who's played by Yoo Yeon-suk. He's a professor of pediatric surgery, son of the hospital chairman who passes away in episode one.
Aww. Not much of a spoiler. Happens in the first minute.
Yeah, it's literally… It just happens.
Not important.
Kim Jun-an, played by Jung Kyung-ho. He is a professor of cardiothoracic surgery. I don't know if I pronounced that right. I'm not medically anything. I'm sorry. Anyways, he's very straightforward. He's very like matter-of-fact, practical
guy. Like the straight shooter of the friend group.
He is. Great word, Brian. And then we have Yang Seok-kyung, played by Kim Tae-myung. He's a professor of obstetrics and gynecology surgery. He is a mama's boy, divorced, and wants friends to start a band again. And finally, we have the one lead female in this cast of five, Choi Song-hwa, played by Chun Mi-do, professor of neurological surgery, female doctor of this group. And I'd like to say maybe tone deaf a little bit, just a little bit,
mm-hmm.
in the band.
Yes,
right, in she's the band. Main singer.
And that ain't no secret either.
Yeah. Not a secret. So, I mean, let's before we get into our main talking points, we're going to talk to you a little bit about what the show is about, I guess.
Yeah.
Give you a little bit of like what happens in the first two episodes. So in episode one, we are pretty much introduced one by one to a group, this group of longtime friends. They all met in medical school and they all in one way or another kind of work together, have stayed in touch with each other. They have this opportunity to all work together in the same hospital. And pretty much Yoon-suk, he's supposed to inherit the hospital, but he's like, I don't want that type of responsibility. He's a very noble guy, right? Very mm-hmm. humble, very noble guy. Mm-hmm. And I think one of his only conditions was like, I get to, you know, do like the VIP like hospital area and like I get to make my own team kind of thing. And so right. he says, I'm going to do it with these friends. He gets the okay. He goes to his friends and some say yes, others say no. And somebody says, I will do it under the condition that we can reignite and reform our band. If we get to do the band, I'm in. Mm-hmm. And one by one, everybody's reconvinced to join this team and they revive the band. And at the end of the episode, pretty much they're shown singing together for the first time in years, what it seems like.
Right.
So that's kind of like the first episode. The second episode, we are also introduced to the larger staff at the hospital. So a lot of residents, a lot of interns, a lot of different characters coming in going. And we get to see how each character interacts with patients, but also like mm-hmm. the personalities of every doctor a lot.
Right. There's some character development happening in episode two.
Right. Now, right off the bat of this show, we can all tell that pretty much this show is going to be about friendship. But for me, I think for all of us here, we were all really very confused because there were so many characters. Because right. these are the five characters, but they pretty much dive into like all of their families and like all these other characters that are consistently coming in and out. And there are tons of patients. So because a lot of them work in the ER and stuff,
right.
so many different faces, so many names, so many conditions. So I think for me, starting off, I was just very confused by the show.
Yeah, Eric, just to echo you, I mean, I wasn't really sure, you know, where the first two episodes were going. A lot of characters being introduced, a lot of patients with different mm-hmm. Illnesses and trials and tribulations, but it was hard for me to pinpoint where this was going.
Right. I agree.
Brian?
Yeah, I mean, I felt kind of lost, you know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because I don't understand like Korean fluently. But I try to pay attention. Maybe there are moments I looked away and I missed something important, but the pieces just didn't really connect in my brain.
Yeah, right. It was just a lot. And it's kind of one of those setups where like, okay, maybe stuff will come together in the next episode.
Right.
But the one thing that seemed very positive throughout was like, oh, this is just a great group of friends. They've been friends for years. They've known each other forever. They're almost 40 years old. So if you consider college, they've probably known each other for almost 20 years or so. So they… have a great bond. They are a great support system for each other.
Yeah.
And that's kind of where the show kind of jumps off. Right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Right. And I think, you know, that kind of brings us into our first discussion point today. Long time, lifelong friendships. Right? I think yes. watching the show, there was one thing that to me was like standing out. It's like, oh, I miss my friends. I want to see my friends. Mm-hmm. People who surround you. And the people that you stay in touch with throughout the years. Mm-hmm. I think some people are very, very fortunate to have a great group of friends from, I don't know, wherever in life. Elementary, middle, high school, college. Others, maybe they've moved around too much. So they don't have that kind of strong relationship with people. But I thought we might be able to talk about just friendships, right? It's hard to make friends as an adult.
Yeah.
You know?
After college.
That is very true. And I think there's something to be said about the fact that everybody was meeting and getting close during med school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all put through the ringer in tough times and mm-hmm. really just head down. So I'm sure there was just a lot of instances where, you know, they had to pick each other up mm-hmm. and hope that one day it's going to get all better and it's going to be worth it. So mm-hmm. deep-rooted friendships. I wish there are a few more flashbacks to really show that. Mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. there was one scene where, you know, they're all kind of getting picked on and then they like kind of… you remember they're
like hide in a shed or something.
Yeah, together. Like there's like a hazing process going on, but then they all hide in the shed and there's
right.
like four or five of them where they meet for the first time and they're kind of like outcasts.
Mm.
Guys, are there any lifetime friendships worth mentioning besides the three of us just being bros?
Would you talking guys, like names? No. Or I guess interesting question is like, do you guys think your college friends or your high school friends or your… middle school friends, whatever. Do you think there's a stronger bond between any of those? Because obviously those are all very different periods of your life.
Uh-huh.
Do you think, you know, yeah. are you closer with your childhood friends or high school friends?
I think it's easier to… Listen, I'm no expert here. But I think it is easier to be closer to people… maybe through college or as a young adult, right? Because you have a better idea of your identity and things that you like. I think like elementary, middle school, high school, even a lot of it is proximity. And if you found your lifelong friend there and your best friends there, amazing. But really, you don't have much choice. You go to the same school, you live in the same neighborhood, you live in the same apartment complex. Mm-hmm. It's really a proximity play.
Right.
And I'll never forget what Oman Appa said.
Well,
I think it was, I was having some heartbreak. It was like in high school. And dad was like, yo, like honestly, this stuff is like meaningless. You're like, when you go to college and you grow up, like that's when it's going to like really matter. And mm-hmm. at the time, I was like, what? How can you say that? I'm in tears right now. But you know, he was right.
So many feelings.
He was right.
Yeah.
But how is hard to say that to a kid that blunt?
Right. Well, I mean, it's because it's all relative. It's all relative. Like when you're a kid, like that's all you know. Those mm-hmm. are those friends that you have are the only friends you have. And so it is a big deal. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, Brian, but for me, it's… I think I have like oddly… I have friends that have been from like middle school, high school. But they're like friends from church mm-hmm. that I've stayed in touch with all throughout. Even today we were texting. We have like a chat group and we just, you know, check in on each other regularly. Yeah. And I, you know, we've stayed in touch ever since middle, high school, college and throughout. So I have those friends. I think friends from my high school, like school, I haven't really been able to stay in touch with a lot of them.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I think part of it is like middle school and high school are never easy. And like it's… You go through things where you're like, oh man, this sucks. You know, mm-hmm. whether you are a bully or you are bullied, like there are parts of those growing up, adolescent, pubescent, puberty years, whatever, that everybody wants to forget. They're like very embarrassing, very touchy mm-hmm. moments. And so I think for a lot of people, maybe not, but for a lot of people, like when you go through that, that's type of stuff that you tend to want to leave behind when you go to college. Mm-hmm. Unless you were like the coolest dude in high school and like you go to college and you mm-hmm. still think you're cool. But at that point, they probably think you're a loser because you think that way.
Yeah, that is true.
And so once I got to college, I definitely made some really, really great friends as well. Like I had great friends in high school. We just didn't end up staying in touch. Uh-huh. And then once I got to college, I found really great friends and we stay in touch pretty regularly and mm-hmm. hang out and see each other. And it's all of these… Friendships hopefully are ones that just last forever and some do, some don't. But
right.
yeah. I don't know. That's my… But I feel like you probably have a different perspective because you're younger than us.
Yeah.
And you know, you're much closer to that high school, college and you grew mm-hmm. up with social media in different ways.
Yeah. I mean, I've never felt like disconnected from the people that I grew up with. Like mm-hmm. even like on like my elementary school friends, we all follow each other on Instagram.
Oh, really?
So it's one of those things where like… Maybe you're not liking every single one of their pictures, but mm-hmm. you like know what's going on in everybody's life, or yeah. relatively speaking. So I never felt like disconnected from really anybody. You know, I went to a lot of different schools. Like my elementary school is different from my middle school, and so is my high school. So I would say that I'm probably closest with my college friends right now.
Brian, your generation is definitely different because you guys have all been so interconnected since
right.
the beginning.
Like Facebook
of time.
Started like fifth grade or something. Or
when you're still in your huggies.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So yeah, that's got to be completely different. Yeah.
Right. I mean, I always think there was like something beautiful to be said like back then, writing letters to each other and appear, like truly missing somebody because you just didn't have the technological access that we have now. Like imagine like… having a crush on somebody in middle school and then seeing them like in your 20s.
Mm-hmm.
The reality is you can keep in touch or at least keep tabs and see, you know, what they're doing and how
right.
they're developing.
Right.
I bet it was a lot cooler back then to just run into someone in the street and be like, yo, they're like,
yeah,
Brian, like, you got so hot. You used to be this like...
You haven't grown.
Yeah.
You're the same size.
Yeah, Brian, your skin is cleared up. Whoa.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. No, for sure. But yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm constantly connected to everybody that I've ever like even crossed paths with.
That's so interesting. I mean, think about it. Like if we were in this time of coronavirus and we didn't have social media, could you imagine how much more lonely we would be potentially?
Yeah.
Like I'm sure, I mean, I know I have friends who are completely isolated by themselves and they're still so sad and lonely right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just going through a horrible time because they're like, I haven't seen a human and I haven't interacted with anybody forever. But like at least we have FaceTime and Facebook or Instagram.
Well, like I know it's a little bit, you know, like we are also very lucky to actually be living together right now. Although we get on each other's nerves, we still see another human being. I guess it'd be different for you because I guess you'd be with Brittany.
Right.
I would be locked away in like 100-square-foot room, my apartment.
I think it's like 75-square-foot.
Your apartment is tiny.
Mm-hmm. I can't imagine being in there for the past
five
years.
I hate being in your apartment because like we always keep bumping shoulders. It's just too close.
I literally… I stepped into Brian's apartment and I stepped back out. I like didn't even turn around. I just like walked backwards and I had to leave.
I don't want
to
go too off track here, Eric. But you remember your first apartment in Korea?
When
Eric was just starting to get popping but wasn't popping. Like by not popping, he didn't have money. So he was like… You're in like an apartment, I would say studio where like the oven is like touching your bed and then
it was
you would invite me, be like, yo man, come through, like I miss you dude, and I would come through and I'd be like, where do I sleep? He's like, oh, you can go to that corner and like just sleep standing up.
Dude, but it's crazy that at that point I was just so excited that I had my own place more than anything. I had been living and I love them, but I've been living with an aunt and uncle. And I was like, I'm like 20.
You need your own time.
4 or 5. And I need to just be space. By myself.
Right. Yeah.
And what I remember, I would just cook stuff just to be able to cook stuff in my own house.
There's real privilege in like agency of just being able to like walk around and, you know,
come and go as you please.
Come and go as you please.
It's very important.
Yeah.
But coming back to this idea of friendship, now that we went to living, we're really bad at this, guys.
Is the problem with bringing us all together.
We just ramble forever.
Wait, where were we?
We were talking about lifetime friendships, dude.
What is this drama?
Yeah. But yeah, going like, wait, no, I was saying I feel like I'm closest to my college friends.
Yeah. I think, yeah, bottom line, it's all situational.
It really is. Like, and I feel like it's not even that like, I don't want to reconnect with my high school friends. Mm-hmm. It's just I feel like a lot of people I went to school with, we just went down such different paths.
And that's normal. That's life.
Right.
And even as adults, I mean, there are people where I'll meet someone and we're like, oh, maybe we'll be friends. And they're like, actually, never mind. And it just doesn't work out.
Yeah.
That's fine. That's just the way it is. But I mean, I'm thankful even in Korea though, I feel like I've made a good group of friends having lived there for so long now. That I feel like, you know, we'll stay friends for life. So
I do have an interesting question before you jump to the next thing.
Hit me.
After college, where do you feel like you've made the most friends? Like what part of your life outside of college has allowed you to meet the most people? Because I think we're fortunate in that we meet a lot of people like all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I mean, think about it. We're really meeting new people like every day.
Yeah.
Well, not now. But
extracurriculars. Well, yeah. You know,
what? Yeah. Like what?
Like recreational soccer or like just doing things. And I mean, rarely, mm-hmm. I mean, you don't go to a bar and like, you're like, hey, dude, want to be friends? It's just some common hobby. Mm-hmm. I think in Eric's situation, Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, being a celeb, being a singer-songwriter, former GQ Man of the Year,
mm-hmm.
You know, it must be difficult coming across somebody and like genuinely opening up your heart and saying, hey, let's be friends. Because then you're like, yo, do you want me for like my 3 million followers? Or like, do you actually think my jokes are funny? And that's got to be a tough little, you know, road to…
I think I had a very hard time making friends in Korea just because I was very paranoid. Mm-hmm. And, you know, luckily, I don't know how it happened, but I ended up making some good friends. But there are plenty of times where, you know, people want to be friends and I just get really sketched out. And I just don't have a hard time really trusting people to a certain point because you can never tell what their true intentions are. And I hate the fact that I actually have to question people's intentions. Like I because I was never like that. I'm like, yo, like if you want to be friends, let's be friends. That's cool. Like let's hang out. Yeah. And I think even in college, like I was just everywhere, just meeting people all the time, hanging out with different people, all different types of groups. But that like I remember distinctly thinking, oh man, my personality has changed in Korea because I went from super extroverted to incredibly introverted. And I think a big layer of that is also Korea has like this respect thing built into the culture where it comes to age and, you know, seniority and, you know, right. that kind of thing. So I was always so mindful of how other people might perceive me that I just stopped meeting people. I would not go out.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to befriend someone like even like 3-4 years older than you.
I just like wouldn't like people like you want to hang out. I'm like, no. Right. Just don't.
Yeah. To add to that, I think there is something very interesting and unique to Korean culture about the way you address people that are older than you, maybe in the same industry, whatever. Because there's all this like chatter of like, this kid's younger than me. He didn't like bow to me correctly. Like he's a, you know, a POS or whatever. Mm-hmm, there's just like, all these like, you know, he didn't bow to me low enough. Like this kid think he's better than me. He's younger than me. And it's like no communication is happening. I don't know if there's in any other culture that people feel so disrespected by like stature in their job or like their reputation or age or you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think it's kind of, it's a tough place to…
Yeah.
It's equally easy because people like are super like friendly to hang out or whatever. But like for me, it's always like, what are your intentions? Kind of thing. And it's odd. Like, so I don't know.
And that's to wrap it back to Hospital Playlist. It is a show that is seemingly built on these lifetime strong friendships.
Right. So I mean, to go back to it, like watching it, I was like, oh, this is nice. Like it just feels good. Mm-hmm. There were moments where I was like, oh, this feels cozy and warm and heartwarming, you know? Mm-hmm. All right. So I mean, it's really cool to see all these friends come together. They're working together. They really support each other. And they're going through life experiences together. And obviously, this show centers around their job, their occupation, and that is of doctors. And I think it's really timely for us to talk about doctors and medical stuff because obviously, we're going through a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic. And as recent news and all this stuff has been breaking, the people on the front lines, people who are sacrificing their health and their wellness and their lives, a lot of them are medical professionals. And so one thing I think as I'm watching this show, I was like, man, like, yes, this is a romantic, idealized, romanticized, pretty version of the medical field. Mm-hmm. But I just kept thinking like, oh man, yeah, there are moments where you appreciate the doctor in the drama and in real life because they're compassionate, they're empathetic, they're sympathetic, and they have all these redeeming qualities. What did you guys think watching? Did he have any of those thoughts or emotions?
Yo, doctors are awesome. Like, as simple as that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the current situation we're in with, you know, COVID and everything, it really spotlights that. But doctors are legit heroes. And I think obviously we see that on Hospital Playlist, like lives are being saved. Mm-hmm. But just seeing photos and everything about, you know, New York and all these different hospital doctors, I can't even imagine what that's like. And there's a lot of like young doctors that are like coming or graduating early from med school and going straight into the field. Like that's super admirable.
Yeah. I think I'm going to be a little controversial here. Okay. I'm not saying it's for everybody, but…
Dear Lord. Save us all.
I think that…
Okay.
Okay. A lot of Asian parents want their kids to become doctors because of the security of it. You know, and Ronnie Chang mentions it in his stand-up special where he's like, you know, most Asian parents want their kids because of the security and the money that it has rather than saving the person.
Yeah.
You know, obviously that's not true. It's a joke. Again, he's a comedian. But you have to admit, it is a very stable job. There is always going to be a demand for doctors, no matter what the economy looks like or whatever pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, there are a lot of people that we like to think are doing it out of the goodness of their heart and want to help people and like, you know, but others that are just like, yo, I want to make money. And can you fault them for that? It's still a job.
It's a job. It's an occupation. And, you know, I think the very optimistic side of me wants to say, oh no, everybody's doing it just because they want to save people and they want to do good work.
Sure.
Like in an ideal world, yes, absolutely. But as the drama shows, there's also a character, a doctor who is just very smug, who's in it for the money, very full of himself, very conceited.
Yeah.
Like those people probably do exist. And I remember having a conversation in college where I asked somebody, they were asking me for help with some stuff and I was like, but like, why do you want to be a doctor? And they couldn't respond. And I was like, that's weird. Like you're about to go to school and residency and whatever for like, I don't know, 6 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't say, I want to do it for this reason. Like that's a big commitment. And that's like a huge, huge like sacrifice that you're making. So for me, it's always like, you know what? No matter what you do, be it a doctor, lawyer, be it a… I don't care. Whatever you're doing. I think as long as you derive meaning and you derive value in the work that you're doing, it doesn't matter. That's what I think. Like if you find value and if you feel like you're adding value to other people's lives, that's it.
Yeah. I don't think there's anything wrong with being financially motivated.
Yeah. Yeah. Me either. Because
at the end of the day, you're still helping somebody.
Exactly. And I think like… I think the best doctors all are selfless.
Mm-hmm.
In that like I've met some… pretty like… I've met some doctors who I'm like… this person should not be a doctor.
They're just extremely… Why? What happened?
Like, yeah. Just rude and just like… what's the right word? Like impersonal? Is that a word?
Yeah.
Impersonal.
Yeah.
Not as sensitive.
No. Yeah. Super insensitive. And it's very much just like… you feel like they don't even care.
Right.
Those are the worst kind of doctors.
Yeah. I hate those doctors.
Yeah. I have to jump in here. I took a class called health communication.
Mm-hmm.
And the… and we're addressing this exact problem.
Mm-hmm.
That doctors in med school are taught how to communicate with patients.
Mm-hmm.
And like be clear and sometimes be ambiguous in situations, make them feel better. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I agree. Like,
but look, I'll say this. Look, even in the drama, right? There is this one character who… she's a female character. And she's just very insensitive. She's just very like… she goes to the mom and she's like, your son's probably going to die. These are the facts and like, it's probably your fault. And she just… that's like the conversation. I was like, how can you say that? And then it's this doctor and the other doctor who seems very like smug and like conceited, where you're like, you start questioning like, what are the motivations and what are the factors of you being a doctor? You know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're looking into it too deeply, but I think part of this show is like pulling it all back and say, what are these characters and what are these storylines motivated from? And they have to be motivated from real life and some truth somewhere.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's interesting to have these types of conversations.
Yeah.
Having said that, obviously, big shout out to all the doctors and medical people in the world, because you guys are truly, truly saving us. And if I was smart enough and I didn't have intense, like, how do you say? If I had a better attention span… and I was smarter, I would have loved to be a doctor. I just couldn't.
I mean, I remember dad said he wanted us to be doctors because they help people. And especially in our community growing up, I thought the most badass thing was that people that are like, hey, I'm good financially. I've accomplished a lot, but I just want to go to another country that needs my services and just like provide.
Mm-hmm. I always thought like Doctors Without Borders was the coolest thing.
What is that?
It's like doctors… I think it's like doctors and residents that can go… they go to like places that need medical attention. They don't have enough doctors and they go like serve them with medical needs. And I think that's like the coolest thing. If I could do that, I would do that. But I can't.
Yeah.
Didn't you want to be a doctor?
I did at some point.
Right.
I think it was going into college I wanted to be a doctor.
Yeah.
And then what happened?
I was just like, it's not for me. I mean, I feel like I was good at science. I don't know. I think part of it was I didn't like the idea of just being on a set course.
Mm.
Like the idea of like you have to take these classes mm-hmm. and then go to this school for X amount of years.
Right.
And then you become this kind of doctor. Then you slowly advance up. To right. me, that was just… it felt a little bit boring in a way because it was so scripted out
mm-hmm.
and planned out. And that was what holds me… I mean… That's kind of why like what we're doing right now is like way more exciting in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's… I mean, it's a blessing and a curse. But you really just don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
It's really what you make it of it. Right.
I mean, similar to me as to why I decided to try to become a singer. Like, and why I initially took a year off before I went to go work at the company, which mm-hmm. I never actually went to go. But it was that same thing of like, I could see myself saying, okay, I'm going to be here for a few years, go get an MBA,
right.
graduate, and like, probably work like a mid-level or exec job somewhere.
Right.
But I didn't like it was too planned out for me and I didn't like that certainty.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why.
I mean, that's the same with me. I mean, going into finance as well, it was like, you know, you're going to be an analyst.
Right.
And then you're going to move up the ranks after 2 years. You're going to be making this much money. Which there's no problem with that. I think maybe it's because I was like growing up after you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I want to do something a little bit different.
Fair.
You know, so, yeah.
That's interesting. Did you guys know that I was a pre-med major for about 3 months?
Shut up.
I was.
No way.
I declared.
Where?
My freshman year.
Oh my God. Thank God that didn't happen.
Pre-med.
Yeah. Brian, could you imagine?
Eric Nam wouldn't be Eric Nam. Dive Studios wouldn't be where
oh
it is.
Oh my God.
I would be right now.
Brian.
Eddie would be a good vet.
Yes.
Or maybe why are you not, laughing so hard?
Maybe not the vet that does the surgery, but the vet that like
plays with the dog.
Plays with the dog.
Yeah.
Or checks you in or
and like
you,
and like you mean a receptionist?
You're talking
receptionist.
About you're talking about the guy who like greets the dog.
Right.
You know, goes
gives him a bone.
Goes and like shows that I'm not dangerous and like shows right. the back of my hand, pet it, gain their trust, put them on the scale.
Because you love know? Dogs. And just animals.
Dude, I love animals. Like how could you not love animals? Like it's just… They're just so pure. And
alright, so…
Eric, why don't you lead us into the third topic?
Right. So, I mean… Let's wrap up this doctor thing. So, thank you to all of our medical professionals all around the world who are at the front lines saving lives, making selfless decisions and really just being selfless. And, you know, we talk about motivations and whatever. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because I think you're all doing social good. You're socially impacting people. And I'm always kind of the argument of like, look, people, you know, I think the other thing is that people are like, doctors do it for the money. Doctors make money, whatever. I'm like, they invested probably 8 to 10 years of their life into studying
mm-hmm.
and making the sacrifices and going through that entire process. And if they're going to do that and they're willing to do that, so be it. I wish I could. I could not. I cannot do that.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it's not easy to be a doctor either. Like,
no.
It's not like even if you wanted to be a doctor, not everybody could make it. You
yeah.
know?
The reason why I brought that up about being financially motivated… Ronnie Chang stand-up was really funny. That stood out to me. But also in the spirit of K-dramas… Doctors is like… Being a doctor in Korea and working at a prestigious hospital is like… It's like the golden ticket.
I mean, people think of Sky Castle.
Yeah, Sky Castle. Everyone's like bragging about it. So that's why I'm saying… That's not the nature of this show. But mm-hmm. I mean, it is like a very coveted position in Korea.
I mean, not in just field. Korea. I think everywhere globally. Like becoming a doctor, it's incredibly difficult. It's incredibly mm-hmm. competitive. Mm-hmm. And that's just the way it is. But I think this kind of brings us perfectly to the next topic, which is kind of talking about what doctors have to deal with every day. Watching this drama, you see people who, you know, are going through so many different complications, dealing with all sorts of patients, almost dealing with like abuse from the patients who are just demanding and screaming and like
mm-hmm.
wailing and… Also, think about like the reason… Like I have friends who work in emergency rooms and I'm like, yo, I could never… Like do not do well with blood or like traumatic things or tragic things. And if I had to watch somebody pass or if I had to do surgery or something, I would probably just pass out.
And this is also something about doctors that we don't know about. Back to the health communication thing, you can't get too close to you know, patients and stuff. You know, like I did a whole project on like nurses. I think nurses do so much. You know, they're right next to the doctor, like handling things from A to Z and like also burdened with a lot of the emotional labor, you know, of like, because I interviewed a patient, I'm a nurse like years ago that worked in a cancer ward. Mm-hmm. So like they're just people passing away like every week, you know, and she'd like go home and just cry. And she's like, that's the only way I could like move on and do my job the next day, you know. So some of these people that do give us the cold shoulder, I think, you know, we're learning a lesson in this episode that we don't know what they've gone through and what their training has been like, especially now in this crazy environment. Yeah,
I can't imagine that.
Just it's real. It's extraordinary.
Seeing people just pass away every day. You know, that's like, yeah. I don't know. I don't know how people do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a special breed of people that have been trained, but also have like much stronger will than, you know.
Because that just like alters your entire outlook on like life.
I mean, if you want to look at it in a positive way, I mean, maybe a positive way that I would swing it is like, if you're a doctor, if you work in the medical field, you are that much more aware of how fragile and valuable life is, right? I mean, you can argue like, oh, it desensitizes you, so like it impacts you less. But I would like to think that it shows you how frail we are as humans, and how important it is for us to really appreciate the people that we have and the health that we have. If anything, like I over the past, you know, 10 years of living in Korea and seeing and meeting so many people, I've just learned that like I say this all the time, one of the most important things is just having good health, you know?
Right.
And we go to doctors when we feel most vulnerable, when we are hurting or when we are ill and we want to be consoled and we want to be helped, and doctors are there for us, in that way. But I'm sure they see all sorts of things, but hopefully it's more in like a positive light.
Yeah. And you know, in the spirit of this show, I think what's been so hard for us to track and like understand, you know, what, you know, certain points is, or the message that they're trying to get across is because like, yes, they're focusing on the friendship and these doctors' lives, but there's so much going on. It's like, there's like a budding romance or something. And then like someone's like, oh my God, this, you know, this person just got in a car accident.
Right.
And then like they're going into a flashback and it's like, hey, you know, you got to be treating this patient who's about to pass away any moment. So, it felt a little bit scattered for me. I don't know how you guys felt.
Show?
Yeah, just like the first two episodes. I know there was a lot that they're trying to get across.
I think that was what I struggled with, was there so much information being thrown at us, or that's how I felt, in terms of there's like 5-6 different characters, and none of them really have enough time to really develop, and you don't really get to understand each character full enough. And so you just end up like having an idea of like, oh, this person's a character, but I still don't really know what exactly their kind of role is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
No, I agree with you. I think that was the most difficult part for me watching this. I mean, mind you, the episodes are so long.
Right.
They're hour like, and 20 minutes.
They're like 80 to 90 minutes long. And I was just waiting for something to happen. But it felt like, because there are so many characters, and maybe this was intentional, like they were trying to show the complexity of the lives of doctors, right? All the things that they go through. They have to have some sort of social life. They have to have some sort of outlet for the stuff they go through. They have all different sorts of meetings, different patients, different family things, romantic things. Trying to show everything. But I think doing that across 5 main characters and the, like other characters that they're involved with.
Yeah.
In 2 episodes, like… And while introducing other new characters, I was just like, what is going on?
Right.
I was so confused.
Right.
Hospital is very complex. You know, life and death, all these different illnesses and accidents going on. And then there's, you know, they're talking about making a band and they're trying to talk about the friendships. And then, so the tone was also a little bit confusing to me because there are these comedic moments to kind of break the tension. But then like, literally a split second later, someone's like having a life-saving surgery or something.
Or like a meltdown or crying.
And you know, I've never seen Grey's Anatomy, but from what I've heard, it is very like, it's the love story that captures people in the setting that happens to be the hospital, which I think this show is trying to do, that the setting is the hospital, but you know, friendship
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm confusing myself.
Yeah. No, after each episode, I was just like, I'm not sure what just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I was just kind of confused. And that's what I was saying at the beginning. Like, I felt like I missed something. Like, I looked away and something happened and I missed it. And then I was like, why did we just skip to this scene? And like, now we're on this character. Like, mm-hmm. Didn't feel like each character had enough time to develop.
Right.
Where I think the first episode is super important.
Right. Is there anything that you liked particularly about the first two episodes?
Brian?
That's a no. Eddie, anything that you liked particularly about the first two episodes?
Let me get back to you.
I did like some of the themes of like health communication. I keep talking about that, but like these are all real things that I think people can relate to. Like if your doctor comes in and he's like frowning after doing some tests, that can be misinterpreted in a way. You're like, oh my God, something is horribly wrong. But then they're like, hey, you've got, you know, there's a lot of these little topics that they touch on that I think everybody who's been in a hospital or visited a doctor or a dentist in the past can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
However, having said that, what did I enjoy? Maybe the soundtrack? I'm not sure.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm thinking back on it. I really don't know exactly what happened. Like, I don't know. Maybe I just wasn't paying attention.
And we watched it.
We watched it together. And I just… For some reason, I just…
We all went on airplane mode. We weren't texting. We were all fully present.
Right. I think what really threw me off was… Like you were saying… Was like the… Like, there would be a scene that's comedic… And then suddenly it would turn to something that's like devastatingly serious.
Mm-hmm.
And then it would cut back to something serious. And then sometimes they would make like a a really sad scenario. They would like put a comedic twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, when people are getting diagnosed with like cancer and all these different illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
But then like the patients that are getting diagnosed, sometimes they'll like make it seem like it's as if like it's kind of a comedic reaction.
Mm-hmm.
In a way. And I was just really confused. It's like, is this a comedy or is this like a drama? I'm just like…
Right.
Was really confused. And I think that's what kind of bothered me about it.
Mm-hmm.
So… I mean… I want to like it. I love like hospital kind of TV shows and such.
I think that was…
Like House.
Right.
I love that show.
Brian, I think you articulated that beautifully. Eric, do you have any comments?
I personally… I really wanted to like this show because I really like the actors in it. Like, I know some of them personally.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a lot of their other stuff. Like, I really enjoy their stuff. And also, I know that this show is doing very well in Korea. Even like the OST, the soundtrack song, is like number one song streaming right now in Korea on the charts. So, I mean, I know that the impact is there. I know people love it. For me, I just… Okay. Disclaimer. To be very… Put it out there. This show, Commit or Quit, is based on making a decision based off the two first episodes, right? Mm-hmm. We gave it almost, 3 hours worth of watch time, yes. Right? We invested 3 hours.
Yeah.
And within 3 hours… In the case of like Harry Potter, he's probably at Hogwarts flying on a broom having learned 50 spells. In the case of 3 hours here, I really don't know what I walked away with other than the fact like I had a few times of like, oh, that's sad. And oh, that feels good. And like, I guess there's music. But like nothing really, really latched onto me and forced me to say, I'm curious to see like how this plays out, how this romance plays out or how this political thing plays out. Nothing grasped onto me the way a pilot or a first few episodes should.
Yeah. And just go off that, like I also read the reviews, like there's a lot of very positive reviews. So for me, I think it's one of those shows that maybe two episodes isn't enough. Like there's so many different storylines that maybe you need more episodes for it to really develop. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those shows.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It's a real… Yeah. We're not really sure how to name it. But I mean, this happens pretty often. I remember when Wonder Woman came out. So much hype. 95% on Rotten Tomatoes. I mean, people are like…
The movie?
Yeah, the movie with Gal Gadot. I mean, I'm getting calls from
teachers I haven't spoken to in over a decade. They're just like, hey, Ed, how hope you're doing well. Watch Wonder Woman. You know, like I'm like, I have people just hitting me up in the DMs. And they're just like, watch Wonder Woman. Whatever you need, watch Wonder Woman. I'm like, so pumped. I'm like, Brittany, we got to go watch Wonder Woman. She's like, I know. I heard it's amazing. I heard it's like better than, you know, the entire Marvel universe combined. I'm like, oh my God, like clear your schedule. It's time to go. She's like, oh, but I got a big meeting. I'm like, no, it's time to go.
And oh we my dropped God. Everything. Get to it.
We got there, watched it. Super underwhelming. And I thought something was wrong with me. I didn't blame the movie. I thought something was wrong with me. I mean, do you see what the
that's
problem
how
is
I kind
here?
Of feel right
yeah,
now.
That's how I'm I like, feel.
There's got to be something here that people enjoy.
I don't know what we're missing.
So the only thing I mean,
maybe it's a genetic. Maybe it's a genetic thing. Maybe our family just it doesn't.
I really think it's like we have to give it a lot more time. And
I
like let
okay.
It develop.
I appreciate that, but for the sake of this show is commit or quit.
That's right.
And it we are very we that's invested. True. We have so many things to watch. That's the purpose of this
that's
show.
That's true.
We did it for you guys. If you guys disagree, I'm sorry. And like. That's fine. Like everybody's opinions are respected.
Right.
But mine is like, I could not, maybe you could pay me, but I probably would not on my own volition watch another episode right now.
Eric, God, so I guess
look at my hands. Guys, look at my hands. For those of you listening, can you confirm that these are super, super sweaty?
Yes.
Super sweaty. You know why? It's because I feel guilty. I know the show is called Commit or Quit, but because of how high the reviews are, I think I'm doing something wrong. I feel like I'm like committing a crime right now.
Right.
By saying like…
What?
I don't like it.
Is it me?
I don't know. Is it us?
Is it us?
I mean, I don't know. I liked Wonder Woman.
So I mean… I actually didn't mind Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I liked Whoa! Wonder Woman. I don't know what… I don't know why you're so upset about Wonder Woman.
It was an example.
I mean, yeah. That was a long example, but
no, but
I mean, liked
the guarantee
it.
People listening.
I thought
will,
Wonder Woman was better than a lot of the other DC movies.
Oh, well, I mean,
of
I'd
course,
say Wonder
dude.
Woman is the best DC
of
movie
course.
Out there.
Come on, man.
So, all right, here we go. Moment of truth. Sure. Now that we've talked about the show, we have some, you know, interesting discussions. We got to commit or quit. We're going to start with you, Brian. What do you think?
I'm an optimist. You know, I'm going to say commit. I think that there are so many different storylines and character plots that two episodes just isn't enough to really understand and enjoy this series. I think it's one of those shows that you just kind of keep watching and it grows on you. Mm. And that's kind of my take on it. I mean, I think there are positive reviews for a reason. I think it just so happens that two episodes just isn't enough. So I'm going to give it a chance and say commit. And yeah.
All right. I'll go. I unfortunately have to quit. Mm. It's just not for me. Like for me, it's like too slow. And you guys know that I can't deal with like too many things and too much slowness. So I think, you know, great actors. Great production, but for me and this drama, unfortunately, I'm going to have to pass. I have a lot of other things that I need to watch, so quit. Eddie, how about you?
Yeah, it's going to be a no for me, dog. I'm going to have to quit. You know, in addition to it not really being my cup of tea, I just couldn't get into it. I think from the past shows and movies we've watched, it's really raised the bar here of you know how valuable our time is and 3 hour commitment it's quite a bit. I want to be like excited to click next and I just didn't have that. Maybe it's not my cup of tea, but again, this is the nature of the show. Please don't get mad at me. That's why I'm wearing these goggles so people can't identify.
Block
me.
Out the haters.
Yeah, block out them haters. So yeah, I mean it's not for me.
So we got one commit and two quits.
Yeah.
What? I mean, yeah, maybe we were just spoiled by… Or you guys were spoiled. We're all spoiled by just like the other shows that we've been watching.
I mean, we watched some really good shows. Yeah. I mean, I we have to be able to say like whether we like something or not and feel okay and safe about that.
Right.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's fine. You may not like classical music. It's fine to say I don't like classical music.
Right.
That's it.
I shouldn't have to feel so guilty for saying quit.
Right. So
I feel like we were spoiled by like Itaewon Class and Sky Castle.
I mean, maybe we just chose really good dramas.
Yeah.
You know? But I'm glad we had to do this and we got to do this because we literally spent hours watching this content, watching this show so that we could educate ourselves, have some discussion and give you guys the lowdown. That's what we promised to do. And that's how it came out. That's how the tea leaves were giving off some signs. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. We're trying to add value here.
But anyways, that's pretty much the end of today's show for Commit or Quit on Hospital Playlist, episodes 1 and 2. Brian.
And guys, let us know what you think, if you agree with our decisions or not, to Commit or Quit Hospital Playlist. You can tag us on Twitter at The Dive Studios. And also join us on Discord. We have over 18,500 members.
Whoa.
We have like 3 channels dedicated to Commit or Quit where you can, you know, talk to us and we can have an open kind of discussion about whether or not you guys agree. And meet us on Discord.
Definitely. And just make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, /Dive Studios, and also join our TikTok and follow us on Instagram at The Dive Studios. And last but not least, please make sure to check out Patreon, /Dive Studios. You know, it is very helpful to us. And there are some perks associated. You'll get 24-hour access, early access to the podcast, and then also like some behind-the-scene footage and just a lot of other like little baby perks
that
feel good.
We're doing what we can. We're doing what we can.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it. That's how we wrap up today's episode of Commit or Quit. Thank you so much for joining us on this amazing, life-changing, thought-provoking show.
Guys, if you haven't yet, please, please, please subscribe to the podcast.
Oh yes, please.
You gotta tap the subscribe button on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify and on Google Podcasts.
Wherever you get your podcast.
Wherever. It helps us a lot. It helps us get discovered by people who don't know Dive Studios, that don't know this show yet. We'd really appreciate it. And on Apple Podcasts specifically, you can actually rate and review this podcast. So let us know in the review section what else we should watch and review.
Yeah.
The TV shows, movies.
And at the end of the day, we've just got an incredible slate of episodes coming out with some special guests and some awesome people and some more dramas, TV series, movies to discuss here. Like, you guys don't want to miss out. Like, that subscribe button. You're subscribing so it pings your inbox
it's
and you're
for
ready.
For free.
Yeah. But anyways, thanks for tuning in.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Have a great week. Wherever you are,
stay healthy.
Stay safe. And we'll see you on the next episode of Commit or Quit.
Bye-bye.
Bye.